Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 16, text number 5. Bandhu, Gati, Adi, Madhyastha, Mitra, Udasina, Vidvishaha, Sarva, Eva, He, Sarvesham, Bhavanti, Kramasho, Mataha, Bandhu Gyatyari Madhyastha Mitro Dasina Vidvishaha Sarva Eva Hi Sarvesham Bhavanti Kramasho Mitaha Bandhu Gyatyari Madhyastha Mitro Dasina Vidvishaha Sarva Eva Hi Sarvesham Avanti Pramasho Mitaha.
Of one another. In
this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives, and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally, they mediate, they despise one another, and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related. It is our practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. Our relationships as friends or enemies, family men or outsiders, are actually the results of our different dealings. Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son, who was now dead. But he could have considered the situation otherwise. This living entity, he could have thought, was my enemy in my last life. And now, having appeared as my son, he is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Why should he not consider his dead son his former enemy, and instead of lamenting, be jubilant because of an enemy's death? As stated in Bhagavad Gita, prakrite kriyamanani factually, everything is happening because of our association with the modes of material nature. Therefore, one who is my friend today in association with the mode of goodness may be my enemy tomorrow in association with the modes of passion and ignorance. As the modes of material nature work, in illusion we accept others as friends, enemies, sons, or fathers in terms of the reactions of different feelings under different conditions. Om Ajahn Tihiran Asya Yananjana Sadakaya Shashur Militam Kena Dasmai Shri Udave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Kena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mahinam Dhati Svapadam Dikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dhatata Kamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Shabrashatam Sahagana Raganatam Sikamsam Sikam Shadvaitam Shabhutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitam Hadevam Sridhata Krishna Padam Saharada Lalita Sri Vishakam Kamska E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Manto Jagatpate Lokesha Bhokta Kanta Kata Kanta Nosite Kapta Kanta Radhe Vrindaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Mani Priye Vanchato Tadurvyascha Kripasindho Vyaye Vrcha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Krishna, Antu Yachari Madhyashta Mitrodasi Navindisha Sarva Eva Visarvesham Pavanti Kramashodaha. As time moves on, as history moves on, relationships change. The America was at war with Britain to get its independence. America was at war with Germany in the Second World War. Now America's closest ally is Britain, and in Europe their closest ally is Germany. So these relationships change. The friend becomes the enemy becomes a friend. Because the relationships are basically proceeding from mental concoction. I'm thinking of this body, I belong to a certain country, this is our land, and then according to what's advantageous to my interests, these people are my friends, these people are my enemies. On the basis of mental conduct. The same thing that happens in international relationships happens in personal relationships. The husband and wife enter marriage and they're the best of friends, or they're the best of lovers, and then later on, I hate you. My father was right about you. I don't want anything to do with you. And then there are bitter divorce proceedings and they fight over every stick of furniture. And then sometimes they get together again because they've tried something else out there, and then they come back together and they say, well, maybe we could give it one more try. Maybe if we chewed from the other side of our mouth, it would taste all right. The whole thing is unstable because it's not based on reality. It's based on this body. And the body changes. What seems to be favorable for my bodily interest changes. So politics change, everything changes. The whole material world. What is that? Nasato vidite pavo na pavo vidite sa. The Tattvadarshis have seen that there are basically two things in this world. Nasato vidite bhava, na bhava vidite sada. That which lasts forever is always the same, and that which doesn't last is always changing. This body is always changing. We have a child's body, we have a young body, old body, and then dead body. So it's always changing. But the consciousness within the body is always the same. But instead of identifying with that which is always the same, I identify with that which always changes. And relationship to this body, I say, this is my wife, this is my son, this is my daughter, these are my parents, these are my other relatives, these are my friends, these are my enemies. All on the basis of the body, which has no permanent or substantial existence. This is called Maya. So kramasha means gradually, step by step, the relationships change. Prabhupada gave some other example that there was some man who was living in the house, he was very attached to the house, and later on he came to the house in his next life, and his former children beat him with shoes. So may so happen that my dearest relatives in this life become my enemies in the next life, or the other way around. They can change. And not only can change, does change. That's the statement here. Gradually change and change. So the Chitraketu Maharaj, instead of thinking, this is my dear son and he's left me, what will I do now? Could have thought, this is my enemy, he took birth in my family just to cause me pain. Now he's dead, good riddance. But in Bhagavad Gita, we find in the sixth chapter, Mitrayudasena, what is that? Surin Mitrayudasena, Madhyashta Dvesha Bandhushu, Sadhush Kapi Chapapeshu, Samabhutir Vishishya. The person in Krishna consciousness, or well established in spiritual life, sees all of these people as the same. Suhrit, our heart-to-heart friend. Mitra, ordinary friend. Adi, enemy. Udasina, a neutral person. Madhyashta, person in the middle, mediator. Vaishna, Bandhushu, envious person. Sadhus Kapi Japateshu, a saintly person and a sinful person. Person who is saintly in one life may be sinful in another. The person who is sinful in a previous life may be turned saintly in this life. So, he sees them with spiritual knowledge as all being the same. Prahlad Maharaj therefore told his father, I'm not interested in the nonsense that your teachers are trying to implant within me. It's all based on rubbish. Friends and enemies, politics. It's all based on falsity. So I don't buy it. I don't accept it. This is my friend, this is my enemy. Everyone is ultimately part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutana, best friend of every living being. So where's the question of friends or enemies? We have a relationship with everyone. Therefore, the devotee is the best friend of everyone. He sees Atmopamyena Sarvantra. What is that? Some of us do not eat. No, that's another one. Nahinasyatmanatmaham. Yeah, I've mixed two verses. Atmopamyena Sarvantra. Some of us should be Arjuna. Sukham Dhani Vadi Kam Siyogi Kapo. The person in Krishna consciousness sees all living beings to be like himself. He sees the oneness of all living beings in their happiness and distress. Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu. He sees every living being to be like himself. They're all spirit souls. One time I brought Srila Prabhupada some prasadam and some big black ants had begun crawling on the plate. So I started to shake them off. Prabhupada said, no, let them play. He said, they are also living entities. So the Krishna conscious person sees in this way, no one is my friend, no one is my enemy. Krishna is my actual friend. The eternal relationship is there with Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. And in relationship to Krishna, all of these people are here to Krishna, so why should they not be here to me? Okay, I'll stop here.
one I'm thinking of it,
since the book distribution is going on, he sees the oneness of all living beings, sukham vaya vibhadukam. Therefore, he remembers that I was suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he can understand they're also suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he wants them to become happy. What is that? He wants the whole world to be happy, sukham. Well-known mantra has just disappeared from my brain for a second. Sarva Sukhino Bhavantu. He wants that everyone should be happy. So it's not ordinary business transaction, or even just an exercise in spiritual competition. But he sincerely feels that these people are missing the essence of life, and therefore they're suffering. So let me try to. Okay, now question. Yes.
You just said that, you know, the religious people, they are suffering. So one of the basic ways to see that, you know, I was also like them, one day I was suffering, and today I am happy. So should I see that today I am happy, or should I see that I was unhappy like them?
I don't follow.
Which one would be better, to remain Krishna dancers or become Krishna dancers? One point you made that, like the materialistic people, they are suffering, and we are also one of them like that. So what is the best way to think that, well, I became devotee, so I am very happy today? The one thought, and other thought, by seeing others suffering, should we think, oh, I also suffering one day like them?
Both things, because happiness and distress, you can say, are relative to one another. So we have, of course, our happiness is not supposed to be relative happiness, but both things are there. I had my bad experience, I had my good experience. So, the two things go, are the complete thought. If I just think I was miserable like them, then so what? Everybody's miserable like someone else. But there was a change, because now I've got something better. I bought this miserable piece of junk, and it didn't work for me, and it caused me so much trouble. Then I bought another one, and it's really nice. So then I tell others, don't buy that junk, get this. It's not one side, it's both sides. This was miserable, this was good. The devotee has both experiences. My material life before was so corrupt, miserable. And this is so nice, chanting, dancing, prasadam, serving Krishna. Nice clothes, nice association, nice way of life, sublime goal. So he has both things motivated. On the one side, he sees how people are suffering, he remembers that I was suffering like that. And on the other side, he's feeling transcendental happiness by Krishna consciousness. And he desires that those people who are suffering should also have that.
In the condition of life, in all that, you know, thinking, oh, I'm very happy, can make me proud, and other one can make more humble, oh, I was also like them, I was suffering.
But it's not that happiness. To avoid pride, you have to suppress happiness. If I feel too happy, then I'll become proud, so I better think that I'm actually kind of miserable, so that I'll stay humble. It's okay to be happy. Prabhupada told us to be happy. So that Narad Muni is always happy. Radhika Ramana's husband is playing on his veena, he's happy. But that doesn't mean he stopped preaching, or that he's become proud. Out of happiness, he's distributing Krishna consciousness to others. And out of compassion, not to want to see others suffering. The one thing we shouldn't do is see others and think, well, they're pretty happy. I used to be happy like that. That's my, right? I used to know a girl like that. And if I went back out there, I could have a nice wife or a nice girlfriend like that. I was making good money. I could be making money like that man again. He has such nice things. I could have those things. We shouldn't be recaptured by the enemy. This is our eternal enemy. The friends and enemies of this material world are only apparently enemies and friends. But we have an eternal enemy, Gyanino Nitya Vairagya, Kama Rupena Kampiya Dushpurena. The eternal enemy is material desire, lust, which can never be satisfied, which just burns the heart. So, if we have friends and enemies, those are our friends and enemies. Krishna is our eternal friend, and Maya is our eternal enemy. Or material desire is our eternal enemy. And we don't want to be captured by the enemy. Oh, they're enjoying it. Is that okay? Yes. Well, I'm thinking that Satsrup Maharaj, after when he just took sannyas, he asked Srila Prabhupada what were the rules for sannyas. And that's what Prabhupada told him. When you see a man who has nice things, don't think I could have had that. Because when you see a man with a nice wife or a nice girlfriend, in this way, don't look back and regret, oh, I could have been going. Those are the rules. Yes?
Said, if you go to a rich man's house,
why so much emphasis on book distribution? Different answers can be given. One answer is, Prabhupada said, I blindly follow my Guru Maharaj. His Guru Maharaj sent books. If you ever get money, print books. I would sell the marble in this temple and spend it to publish books. Books, books, books. If you give some ordinary small-time brahmachari in the month would sell a few copies of their newspaper. Oh, you're so nice. But Prabhupada saw that and he assimilated that my Guru Maharaj is very fond of publishing books. So you don't have to think about it anymore. I have to have a reason. My Guru Maharaj wants it. End of story. This is what Krishna wants. This is what my Guru Maharaj wants. This is what I'm going to do. Simple way like that. Another thing is that Prabhupada saw from his practical experience. He was writing Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi or Vrindavan, and he was using the back of papers distributed by the communist and by the Russian embassy, all about the glories of communism, how wonderful things were going in Russia, how liberating their communist philosophy was, all rubbish. But they keep publishing it, publishing it, publishing it, and they were tremendously influential. So Prabhupada saw practically the power of publishing books, publishing literature. And therefore, he cited that as evidence of the power of distributing literature. Another reason we could say is that Prabhupada was devoted to the book. The book is Krishna himself. Sanatana Goswami is speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. My friend, my life, my guru, my everything, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's called realization. It's not just a 300 pages with covers of the Bhagavatam, but it's Krishna himself coming in this wonderful form of this relishable ripe fruit of Vedic knowledge. So Prabhupada had a deep appreciation for the books and of the message of the book. What is that? Krishne Sukhamo Bhagate Gyan Paramadi Saha Kalo Nashka Krishami Shadudanam Kapanodi. These, and now that Krishna has disappeared, when Krishna was here, he was holding Kali Yuga off. Now that Krishna has appeared, disappeared, where is Sukhamo? Where is Gyan? Then the answer is given that when the sun set in the form of Krishna, then the sun rose in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Along with Dharma, Kena, everything in the scriptures. So it's such valuable literature. And Srila Prabhupada had deep realization of that. He was dedicating himself while his godbrothers were busy with temples and politics. Prabhupada was publishing books. He was writing books and then going through so much trouble to publish the book. So Prabhupada had deep faith in the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, he said, even if they touch it, they benefit. Even if they touch it, if they just keep it and don't read it, if they keep it in their house, they'll benefit. And we'll just be forgiven. Another practical thing, he saw that by selling books he got money. He was traveling in America, he didn't have any money, he had some books. So when he distributed the books turned into money and he was able to carry on. So Prabhupada said, you do everything is there. You distribute transcendental knowledge, you get some money, people become enlightened. You get transcendental happiness from distributing everything is there. This temple that we're sitting in was built on books. The plaque is there in the front. So much money was given by PDT. That means it was all from distributing books. So we like this temple. We think it's nice. People appreciate this time. And everyone, if you go, are you from this time? This whole establishment was made possible because of the distribution of books. Even if we don't make money, we distribute the books anyway. In Africa, common people don't have very much money. Prabhupada said you should distribute the books at cost. Not that if we don't get some money, then we won't have any profit, and why should we, like business, well, if you don't make a profit, why should we distribute this product? Discontinue the line. And invest in something profitable. No. These local language books, Zulu, Swahili, Kosa, they don't make any money. But we don't care, that's not our business. Our business is people should get the books. As many books in as many languages, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
One interesting note. I was in Chittiwati, name of Monte. This time owns it, as you manage it. So I asked the local people there, what does Chippewa mean, Chippewa? So they said that the word Chippy is a colloquial expression for a chapna, a printing. So the Chippewa is a place where all the printing goes off. And that's why Prabhupada was saying.
In Vrindavan, he stayed in Radhadamazar. And in Delhi, he stayed in Chittiwati.
Ramananda said the Prabhupada told him that the first canto, those first three volumes, were actually written in this room there in Chittiwati, because he'd write something, he'd give it to the printer, who would typeset it one letter at a time, then they got a proof, give it to Prabhupada, he would make the correction, give the proof back, and then he would make the letter type correction, take out another proof, and give it to Prabhupada. So that's why you couldn't do that coming up and down from Vrindavan, so you had to stay in Chippewa.
Okay, conversion, they talk about friends and enemies. So in terms of devotional service also, devotees are doing different services. Sometimes some devotees want to serve Krishna in different way, while others have a different plan. But when both plans come together, there is sometimes clash. So how we see that as material or that is, because there also that kind of thing comes as, okay, he likes my plan, he doesn't like my plan.
Well, it's spiritual, but we sometimes devotees have different plans, different points of view, and then there's a clash. So is that material or spiritual? From one point of view, it's temporary, and therefore it's material. And it comes and goes. From another point of view, it's spiritual, because they're both trying to serve Krishna. So the spiritual component is that we're both trying to serve Krishna. We may have different angles of vision, but the goal is to satisfy Krishna. That's spiritual. Even if it's a clash, I think we should buy, you think we should sell. I think we should take the van, you think we should take the train. But whatever it is, different, I want to do it, and you want to do it. So there's a clash, but ultimately we're not enemies, we're both trying to satisfy the same person, Krishna. In the material world, I want my sense gratification, you want your sense gratification. So there's a clash, and the basis is material. In the spiritual platform, I want to serve Krishna, if you want to serve Krishna, there may be a clash, but the goal is the same, and therefore there's not this duality. Just like for serving the country, there may be some difference of opinion. Congress party says one thing, BHP says another thing. So they're enemies. But if the country is attacked, they all stand on the same platform. They all stand on the same platform. Ultimately, they're all for their country. So superficially, they're friends or enemies, and that changes also. That's another good example. Sometimes BHP lines up with this party, sometimes that party breaks off and becomes their own party, and then sometimes they join back up, or sometimes they join the Congress, according to their temporary alliances and their temporary interests. Ultimately, it has no meaning. Or ultimately, you can say that finally they're all serving the country. So we have to look to that more. There's what's called the long view. Have you heard that expression, the long view? You look from very close up and everything looks like it's clashing, everything's like friends, enemies, I lost my son. You take the long view, that's what is being spoken here. You take the long view, all right, he's your son, this life, he might have been your enemy in your previous life, or who knows, so many lifetimes. So that's the long view. When you take the very close view, you only see this much. You take the long view, you see the big picture. So we become focused. No, I want to do the arti. No, I want to do the arti. No, I want to leave. No, I want to leave. No, we should go here. No, we should go there. And then there's clashing. And he's my enemy, he's no good, blah, 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 blah. But we have to see the larger picture. He's trying to serve Krishna, I'm trying to serve Krishna. Where's the question of friends? I can tell you an example from my personal life. That I had one godbrother in New York City back in earlier time. And from my point of view, he was kind of obnoxious. He was like egotistical and just, I didn't get on with him. There's always something. Then Prabhupada came to New York and he stayed at one tower. And that tower belonged to another godbrother, and that godbrother was friends with my enemy godbrother. So when Prabhupada came, somehow I got to come up and see Prabhupada at that tower. And these two other godbrothers were also there. And my enemy godbrother offered Prabhupada some fruit and some this and that. And Prabhupada was appreciating. Oh, you're very nice. And then I thought, well, what's wrong with me? Prabhupada likes him, and I don't like him. So that means I'm cockeyed, you know, I'm out of joint. If Prabhupada likes him, I should like him. So I got the larger group. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes.
A nice example here of long view and narrow view. Just like when you camera, you want to see something very crystal clear, you take a long view. And narrow view, then it become, you know, very complicated and things like that. Very good.
The long view, you see the context. You see the larger picture. The narrow view, just like narrow view, someone sees a girl, he becomes, oh, la, 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 la. Then there's the long view, that they get married and now he has to work 8 hours a day and she's always complaining. You promised me this, you promised me that. We never do this, we never do that.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. Now, my question was with respect to the idea of printing and publishing more books. So we see that there are books that are available. And there are some other devotees also who are writing books.
Give me that again, we got lost in the helicopter.
There are books that have been written by Srila Prabhupada, and there are some books which have been written by other devotees of Prabhupada, contemporary. So those books are also being distributed. So the idea of books being printed and distributed, so should we distribute, focus on distributing the Prabhupada books only, or the other books also which are written and published by the devotees and disciples?
Srila Prabhupada's books are our core books, but that doesn't mean that from now to eternity they're the only books. Prabhupada criticized, he was in Mayapur and he was walking, he was seeing Gaudiya Math, and he was seeing like the same books that they'd had since like 1942. And they hadn't published anything, you know, in the past 30 years. And Prabhupada criticized that, you know, they have nothing new to contribute. Not that there's anything new, but you know, no further contribution. So that's, therefore Prabhupada created, for example, the Bhaktivedanta, to give an outlet for devotees to express their realizations. When Prabhupada was here, he had us publish books by other authors. Jyotananda wrote a songbook, gave a songbook translating Vaishnava songs. Prabhupada had us publish that. Devotee wrote a cookbook, Prabhupada had us publish that. Sir Damodar Maharaj wrote a book on Krishna, the Supreme Scientist. Prabhupada had us publish that. Satsrud Maharaj wrote a book, Readings in Vedic Literature. Published that. So the example set by Prabhupada was not, I only want my own books. His own book trust, he had published books by other devotees. So I think that answers the question. But again, and naturally, Prabhupada's books will be the core books. And all the other books wind up referring to Prabhupada's books. Someone reads Sir Damodar Maharaj's book, they're going to want to read Prabhupada's book. If someone reads Satsang Maharaj's book, they're going to want to read Prabhupada's book. So it's not subtraction. It's addition. It's not subtraction, it's addition. Sometimes also we think, if we stop this, this will increase. Like I've sometimes been at Bhaktivedanta Nath, where probably you know most of the preaching is done to the Indian community. They've become tremendously successful in preaching to the Indians who are living in that part of Britain. And previously they've been preaching more to the white people, you know, the native British people. So sometimes when I go there, then some of the white people are cramming, you know, that why is so much emphasis being given on preaching to the Indians? But, and then they said, you know, if we took energy out of that, then we could put it over here. It doesn't exactly work like that. The preaching to the Indians is successful because some devotees have dedicated themselves to that and stuck with it for like 30 years. And so it's become successful. It's not that if you somehow clamp down on that, then everything else will flourish. They were successful by sticking at it, starting from practically nothing. So you do the other thing. Because they're preaching to the Indians, the whole rest of the field is open for you. So take the ball and run with it. It's not that you stop A so that B will go. It's often problem, should we do A or should we do B? Problem, why not do both? So, both things are there. Devotees from their realization or inspiration or whatever, they're contributing books. And the purpose is that people will come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, people will read Prabhupada's books, and the whole thing will increase. So it's not that if we close the valves here, then everything will flourish there. The more you do everything, the more everything increases. Distribute Prabhupada's books, distribute the other books, do Harinam. It's not like, well, if we do more Harinam, the book distribution will stop. No, do Harinam, you do book distribution, you do your like membership program, you do everything. But our core focus is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything else is there, that's our core. Is that all right? Yes.
As you said, that the ISKCON will continue for the last 10,000 years. And certainly the Prabhupada's books and his disciples' books and his disciples' books and such a books are there in the market. And if it continues for 10,000 years, then the time will come it may cover up the poor copy of Swayambhu Vatsa or something like that. Don't you feel like?
No. Prabhupada's books are self-involving. They're valuable. It's not that if a lot of stars appear in the sky, the moon is going to somehow or other diminish. Rather, the moon will be more appreciated because it's surrounded by so many stars. Prabhupada's books are self-involving. They're not going to be influenced by other people's books. And rather, as long as the people who are writing the books are following Prabhupada, naturally they're going to draw attention to Prabhupada's books. They're going to quote from Prabhupada's books, they're going to refer to Prabhupada's books. The readers are going to go back to Prabhupada's books. Also, Prabhupada picked the most important books. If you look, what are the most important books for the Krishna devotees? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those are the three biggest books. They're already covered. The most important titles are already chosen by Srila Prabhupada, along with Isha Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion, and many others. So that's another, nobody's really going to say, well, I'm not interested in Srimad Bhagavatam. All roads lead back to Srimad Bhagavatam, all roads lead back to Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada himself has given those texts just as sure. I'm not worried. I work for the BBT. My whole life is dedicated to the BBT. I'm not worried that other people